Heroes, Wisconsin. It is Friday, it is Veterans Day, and it is Black Panther 2 Day. We're going to get to our next guest in a second, but Jane, how impressive was Michaela?
Oh, she was incredible.
Oh, my goodness. In the last segment, we had a campus organizer from UW-Madison on. Our little way to honor Gen Z for putting up the brick wall that stopped the red wave. So impressive. She's studying to become a neurosurgeon. Just unbelievable.
Yeah,
Angela, you would have loved her.
Yeah, it's too bad she's not motivated at all.
I know, right? Our next guest is Angela Lang, Executive Director of Block, Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Friend of the show. Can you even keep track of how many times you've been on with Kristen?
I think it's only been once, formally, I think. We talk a lot, but I think I've only been on once, unless I'm missing something, which is also quite a possibility because my brain is fried.
This show started in July, and it's been a heck of a run since then. I'm sorry you got the B team today, and I know usually if you were to on and what you're talking to Kristen about is politics and organizing, we're not going to do that today. We've had enough of that. We are here to embrace our nerddom and talk about Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever. It's in theaters today. I was trying to explain this to the teenager in our house who was like, but the movie comes out tomorrow. How do we go see it on Thursday? And I feel like the entertainment industry is just like, no, we're still going to say movies come out on Fridays, but you can go see it at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday. I don't get it. So let's start with the nerddom, right? Like we're both nerds. We're willing to embrace it, but give us a little flavor. Like what's your level of nerddom or fandom when it comes to things like the MCU?
Okay, so I will say, like, I haven't read, like, comics and stuff like that and all of it, but I'm an avid watcher. I think the movies are great. They provide really great entertainment, and I think Black Panther, for lots of reasons, I think stands out in a lot of ways, because I think even people who aren't, like, nerds at all can watch the movie, you know what I mean? People that aren't like the MCU, like universe or anything, will watch the movie and understand it. And like, you're not behind. It's not like you have to watch all these other segments and in order and all these things. So, it's, I would say I'm right in the middle, maybe a little bit more, but definitely not maybe as much as some other people who live and breathe and have read every single comic book ever in life.
Fair enough. And you're right. You make a good point. Like, one of the marvels of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is how accessible it is. Yes, you can be a completist. You can watch all of the 30 films, all of the TV shows, and if you do that, you'll have a level of enjoyment in the way they connect. But you can also just kind of go like, I'm going to give one of these a try. And so Black Panther, the original movie, we're going to start there. So that's 2018. This movie comes out. It's the 18th movie in the MCU. And it is just such a cultural touchstone. Take us back to like what that was like to see Black Panther for the first time, what that experience was like, what it felt like the next day at work talking to people about it. Like, where was your head at, and how important was Black Panther, the original movie, to you?
Yeah, I think it, as I mentioned, I think it opened a door for a lot of like other folks to kind of embrace the fandom too. Like I said, because people could just watch it and we're like, it's history, so we'll just show up and watch it regardless. And then I think that's another opening for people to explore the rest of the universe. I remember going with a group of friends, all sitting together with our, you know, Sour Patch Kids and popcorn, and just like in awe. I remember just like being inspired and having to take pictures. Like, I don't, you know, you leave a movie, like, I don't pay attention to like the movie posters or, you know, all the time. But we love the movie. We're like, we have to take the pictures. We have to do the Wakanda Forever salute. Like, we have to do it. And I remember thinking about it. Our group chat was talking about it and processing it. I think I saw it twice in the theaters, if I remember correctly. But I remember it just being like a moment. I think there's like these very few rare moments that like our community can kind of have like this inside collective moment together that's like cultural and not divisive. Like, it's a beautiful thing when we all can come together around this and not, you know, we can debate it as much as we want, but it's not something that is like polarizing, right? And it was something very special, I think, for our community. And I remember being in awe. And I remember a little while later, I was at an event with Senator Cory Booker. He came to Wisconsin, and it was me and a couple other friends. We were like, we think we can get him to do the Wakanda, like, and take a picture. We're like, just let's ask. Let's just try. And so we have this picture. We're all just doing the salute together. You know, that's it's kind of what it means. It's that head nod, you know, that sign of, you know, I understand. And that collectiveness, I think, is important.
That's amazing. And we should name it for anyone who's not familiar with the MCU or Black Panther. What was so remarkable is this was a Black movie. Ryan Coogler on down, all of the creatives involved were Black artists and entertainers. There were very few people in this movie who were not Black. I've got a funny story about the sequel that one of the kiddos in our house was like, why was he even in this? But we'll get to that in a second. But it was just this incredible expression of Black culture and like way to celebrate Black creatives in a way that hopefully continues to open doors. I want to move on to part of why I think Black Panther is also now so important in retrospect is the untimely passing of Chadwick Boseman, who even outside of Black Panther, just an incredible actor. What this gentleman was able to produce in his far too short life, it was amazing. I mean, it's astonishing, and it's such a tragedy that we lost him so soon. How did that hit you? What, like, when you heard that, because, and for people who aren't familiar, what we find out ultimately is that Mr. Boseman was sick for a very long time, and in fact had completed filming on some movies while very, very sick, but he did not want people to know that he was sick. And so this was a private struggle for he and his family, and it sort of made the weight of those performances even heavier to know what he was going through in this battle before we lost him. But how did that strike you? And what were your thoughts about the future of the Black Panther franchise when you heard that we had lost him?
I remember seeing the news and being like, wait, what? No, I feel like we stopped the internet hoaxes where we've been killing people off. Like, I feel like that's like a thing that we don't do anymore. So I was like, wait. And then to know he was sick and like battling this privately, but yet still working, I think speaks to his passion and his craft and his dedication, right? I think he knew he became a symbol for us and our community, and he was our superhero, you know, and a very real life superhero as well. And I just remember being like confused, like, wait, no, what happened? It was, yeah. I think folks were had a hard time accepting it, I think, too, because it wasn't like it was some drawn out thing. As you mentioned, it was, you know, he had been battling it privately. And so it's not like this person was diagnosed with something and you kind of follow, you know, their journey. And that's not what happened either. And so I just remember being stunned and really just sad, you know, really sad, knowing that he had so much more to give and to do that we will never see. And then the conversations of like, so what next for the franchise? And I was very strong in the category of you can't just like recast him, right? And just like, you know, I think we've seen that in some movies. I can't think of any offhand, but like, I know it's happened where like that'll happen. And then we'll just like bring in a new actor and it's not acknowledged, it's not talked about, and you're just supposed to accept it. I was like, that can't happen. Like, that's not, he's too significant for us for that to happen.
We even saw that in the MCU, right? So Terrence Howard, mm-hmm. another Black actor, was in the original Iron Man movies, and then it switched to Don Cheadle in later movies, and they just never talked about it. And so
Yeah.
So we're talking to Angela Lang, friend of ours, friend of the show, about Black Panther 2 Wakanda Forever, which is in theaters everywhere today. Whether you watch the first movie, well, if you haven't watched the first movie, first of all, dial up to Disney Plus and watch the first movie and then get out there and see the second one, because it is a remarkable achievement. We were talking a little bit about the accessibility. So as I understand it, you have not been super dialed in to phase 4 of the MCU. The movies that have come out from Marvel are Black Widow, Shang-Chi and the Rings of Power, The Eternals, Spider-Man, No Way Home, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and Thor, Love and Thunder were the movies that we've seen recently. And then the shows have been WandaVision, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, Hawkeye, Miss Marvel, Moon Knight, and She-Hulk. Have you seen any of them? Have you seen all of them? Somewhere in the middle? I know you've been real busy. We're going to forgive. You might have a lot of this in the queue for the next few weeks here.
I do. I have a very lengthy list across all streaming services. No, I watch bits and pieces of things. And so it'll be on and I'm like, I need to rewatch this because I'm not paying as much attention. She-Hulk is the one that is probably going to be first up on my list to watch. I've heard amazing things about it. I've seen a little bit. And so I was trying not to read more into it and spoil it for myself. But no, I'm excited. And I think even She-Hulk provided a lot of discussion. Again, even though I haven't seen it, the discussion of including Megan Thee Stallion, was that a comic book related thing or who put that in there? And then you can kind of unpack what people are saying, good, bad, and other when it comes to gender and race and whatnot as well, too. But She-Hulk is I think going to be the first one on my list. I have Monday and Tuesday off. And so that's probably going to be when I start.
Good for you. My better half will plus one and endorse starting with She-Hulk. A thing before we go to break here, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the movie Wakanda Forever on the other side of the break, but it's going to be a spoiler-free discussion. So stick with us. But in terms of what Black Panther meant, I think when you look at this latest run of movies and shows, it sort of shows the power of what Black Panther was able to do, right? You talked about, from the perspective of the Black community, Chadwick Boseman was your superhero. And we've seen in Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, the first Asian superhero, right? We see in Ms. Marvel, the first Muslim superhero. And so we are seeing an expansion and really an explosion of representation in arts and culture. And it doesn't matter that it's the MCU that is, one of the ways that it's happening. It's just, it's so important that people see themselves reflected in all mm-hmm. things, right? In art, in politics, in government, in power. Going back to Michaela, who we talked about in the last, the first half hour of the show, we asked her, who was the candidate you were most excited about? And she said, Mandela. This is somebody that looked like me. And that means something. There's power in that. And so I just wonder if you have any other reflections on, the barriers that are falling in terms of arts and culture and entertainment and representation and where we hopefully go even further beyond this in the next run of movies.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always important, as you said, to have that, to be reflected into mainstream conversations and culture and all of these things. But what's interesting, too, is I think it allows a peek into other cultures in a way that maybe you haven't seen before. Talking about the costume designing or the customs and the rituals that are incorporated. People may not always see it and understand it. Like, is that actually historically accurate? Let me go research and look that up. At least that's what I do, right? And I think specifically with Black Panther, whether it came down to the images, the prints, I remember the scene where they were fighting to figure out who was going to be the next Black Panther, and everyone is kind of, decked out in different tribal and traditional clothing. And there's a historical significance there. It's not just something that's made up for this particular movie. And so I think being able to see that, and that was something I thought was really interesting in the second one, bringing in more cultures is all I'll say, and what that means. And I'm an overanalyst, so I'm I can unpack all of this stuff. But yeah, I think that was really cool, as it provides a conversation and a dialogue for other cultures.
We're going to continue the conversation on the other side of the break. The conversation is about Black Panther. Panther 2, Wakanda Forever. It's another important moment in culture. It's an incredible tribute to Chadwick Boseman, who we talked about in this last section. We're visiting with Angela Lang of Block. In the next half hour, we're going to talk to Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler. We'll sort of get back to the politics. And then in the final hour today, we're going to have Maddie McDaniel, who was the communications director for Mandela Barnes' campaign for the U.S. Senate. So taking a little break from the politics. Lock in, folks. The elections are over. Go to the movies this weekend. Dude, spend some time with the family. Have some fun. Wakanda Forever is a really remarkable piece of film. We're going to talk about it on the other side of the break with a little more specificity, but we are not going to engage in spoilers. We will not ruin anything. We will talk more about sort of some of the themes and just the way it made us feel as we saw it on day one yesterday. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Joe Zepecki, in for Kristen Bry. We'll be back with Angela Lang on the other side of the break. Stay with us. to As Goes Wisconsin. This is Joe Zepecki in for Kristen Bry. We are talking about Black Panther 2 Wakanda Forever on Black Panther 2 Day. It comes out today, even though a bunch of people could see it yesterday. We're still trying to get to the bottom of that. We're visiting with Angela Lang, our friend from Block, Black Leaders Organizing Communities. All right, spoiler free, but we're going to talk about our movie going experience yesterday. Where do we start? How did you feel walking out of that theater? How many stars? What do you want to say about that experience yesterday?
So I got in my car immediately afterwards and I just like screamed. I was like, "That was so good!" in my empty car. I took notes during things, like different quotes and different things that I want to like explore later on. But I think I was emotional. I cried a lot and I thought about bringing tissue. I was like, it'll be fine. And then I did it. And I'm just like bawling within the first like 3 minutes. Right. And like several times during the whole thing, including the ending, all of the things, I'm crying. It was just beautiful in so many ways. But I was very emotional and I was just like, wow, this is a beautiful tribute to Chadwick Boseman in multiple ways. It was woven throughout the film. It wasn't just here it is in the beginning and it's done. I think it was very healing too. I think the concept of grief and how people are grieving and the grieving process that was woven in, it was beautiful. It was touching. 10 out of 10. And I can't wait to see it again, honestly.
Yeah. Listen, Angela and I are both people who feel our feels and you know, tough luck if you don't like that. You are not the only one who shed some tears during the movie. Even just thinking about it, you're exactly right that it was a great tribute. I cannot imagine what the process must have been like for those creators who I'm sure had, when they thought that Chadwick would be with us for decades, to sort of carry that mantle and like the story and the direction they probably wanted to go, and to have to sort of strip that all the way down and find a way to both honor the character of T'Challa, King T'Challa, and the actor. And that's a really, really hard thing to do. And oh my God, they did it. Like, what I would say is this is not a joyride of a movie, right? There are some silly, goofier, like I'm thinking about like Ant-Man. Like there are some Marvel movies that you will just sort of laugh throughout. Now there's some funny moments, right? They hit that tone as well. But this is a more profound and deep movie for some of the things that you talked about when it comes to grief and processing loss and loved ones. We talked earlier about within such a cultural touchstone of a movie itself, to sort of open a window into how do you receive new cultures or cultures that you are not familiar with? And when there is sort of, you know, uncertainty and wariness between cultures, are there ways to bridge that divide? And what does that say about us as humans, as people, the way that we navigate that? I'm wondering if there's other themes that, you know, in your notes you took that you're going to kind of be looking out for on a rewatch.
Yeah, that's definitely one of them. At some point there was a quote that said, "Ally or enemy, there can't be anything in between." And I was like, that's interesting. That was a choice. Those were words that were, that's a thing. Right. And so I was sitting on that for a while. I think another theme that I think we hear sometimes in the Black community as well is like this concept of, wanting just equity and reparations and not vengeance or revenge. And how that comes up in politics. Like I immediately connect it to politics, right? And how our community has gone through so much and yet still in a lot of times lead with love and compassion and empathy. And I think that was noted in several ways in the film. And I think it was a testament to the resilience of the Black community specifically. So those were two things that I thought were big kind of themes that I want to like sit with a little bit more and process more, feel the feels. And then, you know, I was also just thinking and trying to play it back because I was trying to like be in the moment, but I was reflecting last night of like, you know, every time King T'Challa was like brought up in the film, those tears had to have been real, you know, like these aren't actors, right? They're talking about a character, but they're talking about their colleague, their beloved colleague at the same time. You know, you see, you know, either TV shows or films where someone, you know, passes tragically and they do weave it in there. You know that the emotions that you're seeing were not really scripted, yeah. Right? Those tears likely were real. And so I want to kind of look and watch it again through that lens as well, too, of kind of that raw emotion that I think you don't always see in films that I think also added to that level of it. I think that's why it made it so much deeper, too.
Yeah. This one is not as deep as that, but another one that sort of leapt off the screen for me was sort of this conflict between tradition and technology. Can they coexist? Yep. How do they coexist? You know, it's not a spoiler to say that just like in the first film, there's a lot of talk about the ancestors and sort of what comes before. And we know that we live in crazy changing times where everything's moving faster and everything feels a little bit different. How do you reconcile, you know, the modern era and the ways that we live with a past that is worthy of reverence and appreciation and carry those traditions forward. So that's another one that I'm kind of interested to watch it back and just sort of see, like, did they pull that thread all the way to the end of the movie? Because it was definitely there early on. So
it was one of my first notes, actually. It was like this idea of like maintaining rituals and culture with technology, right? And I think there's a way to do both, right? There's like deep connections of like storytelling and history that can be preserved, and it doesn't need to be in opposition of technology. You can do both. And I think we see some characters come around to both towards the end and seeing that they can coexist. And I thought that was, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was something, that was one of the first things I noticed, I think, giving some of the conversations between characters and the way I think some people didn't want to acknowledge maybe some of the history and the rituals.
Yeah. So the funny story before we go, so we walked out and I saw it with our boy, and he went, "Why was that white guy in there?" the CIA character from the first one, Agent Ross. He was like, he didn't really add anything to the story. Why did they have him? And I just thought that was a pretty astute comment from that young man. Angela, thank you so much for joining us. We have celebrating Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever. It is a remarkable achievement. It is a fitting touchstone honoring the legacy and memory of Chadwick Boseman. Everyone should go see it. If you haven't seen the first Black Panther, you should watch that too. But this is going to be another big moment in culture, and that's something we should all want to be a part of. And you might have your own takeaways. You might have different takeaways. But I know Angela's got a plane to catch. We appreciate you taking some time. We appreciate you. And go see Black Panther 2, people. What are you waiting for? It's Friday. You know, clock out of work. Go get it. Stay with us at As Goes Wisconsin. This is Joe Zupacki. I'm in for Kristen Bry. On the other side of the break, we're going to have Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler and talk some more about the elections and what we learned and how we're going to build on this momentum going forward. Come back after the break. 5:40 a.m. WAUK, The Shaw. Thank you, Angela. Have a great weekend. Have a safe trip. I live by my own.